Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, hold that, Matt. I'll do the intro. It's professional. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw from Northampton Services. As I put my seatbelt on. You got your seatbelt on, Matt?
I do. I am present, safe and correct.
Good.
Mainly.
So we've just done a progress show, Chapter 77 in London, and now we have another 3 hours to spend in the car together, and we've exhausted all of our conversation topics, which are essentially complaining about everything in the world. I'm going to drive Matt home to Manchester, and then I'm going to go home to my house. Forgetting I've got to be up at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's the first question. No, I don't live with him. No, I'm not his adopted son.
The first thing you'll notice is this podcast might have some background noise, because I'm about to drive on the M1 at exactly 70 miles an hour. Matt's holding the microphone, and Matt is reading the questions from Twitter, because I'm obviously a safe driver. I nearly ran someone over in the car park then. That would have been hilarious. Wasn't my fault. She wasn't looking where she was walking. But imagine if there was just a bump. I mean, I'd probably edit it out, but you never know. A couple of plugs. First of all, we're on the Distraction Pieces Network. Check out everything on the network. It's all lovely. And also, progresswrestling.com, demand-progress.com, and more importantly, jimsmorman.com/book. Think of my book for all your Christmas book buying needs. Also available on Audible and on Kindle. I said this on the podcast last week, and then I immediately had two messages from people going, is an audiobook version? Yeah, literally, it's on Audible. But I don't know how people aren't aware of it, because I think I banged on about it the 3 days I was recording it.
Is it you doing the voiceover for it?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, I would have totally got someone like Stephen Fry in or something like that, you know?
I mean, it would have been better if I mean, by that point, I was legit bored of the book. I love the book, but I'd written it and then edited it and re-edited it, and then I had to spend 3 days reading every single word in it, which is pretty rough. Yeah. So please buy the book. It helps feed my children. I'm joined today by Matthew Taylor Francesca Richards, who's just fresh from commentary today.
I am, yes.
Is now my passenger, as he often is on the way back from shows in London.
Yes.
Both by keeping me awake because he's legit me mate and I like hanging out with him.
This is the only time we ever see each other now. Like, that's not even a joke. Because we're both busy men. One may be more busier than the other, but...
No, I mean, you're definitely the busiest.
Yeah, that's what I was hinting at, but yeah, sure. It's nice. This is our 6 hours together at the crack of dawn, where delirium sets in very quickly.
I messaged my wife and went, my ETA home is about 3 a.m.
Oh, that's early.
I think she was like, when did you leave London? Well, I left London at 8:30 and we stopped and got food, and then we just stopped again so you could have, in your exact words, a tinkle out of your winkle, because you are six. And now we're on our way again. So again, this is a podcast recorded whilst driving in a Fiat 500X. That's what I drive, because You know, you might think I'm earning the big bucks, but I am driving a leased Fiat.
Very sensible and affordable.
Yeah, I've got AstroTurf now, though, so, you know.
Just like your book.
It is affordable. So, I got people to tweet us questions. And I must stress, today's been a weird day for me. And I mentioned this at the start of the Progress Show today. I am a huge Leicester City supporter. I've literally just found out as we stopped about what we suspected, which is the death of Vichai, the chairman and the owner of Leicester City Football Club, a man I've met on a few occasions, a man who's always been lovely to me, always been lovely to everybody I know, always been lovely to every single Leicester City supporter. And I wore my Leicester shirt for the Progress Show today, and some people might think sport's silly, but I live a long way away from my hometown and I love my football club. And a lot of how I approach football is how I approach wrestling in terms of how I think shows should be presented and stuff like that. So it genuinely shocked me yesterday, the helicopter accident that happened in Leicester. Obviously, because I have friends and family are at the game as well, so I was worried about them, and then obviously worried about the owner and his family. And we found out he's passed away. And genuinely, wrestling cheered me up today. I said this to Matt before we started recording, I didn't feel like doing a Progress Show today. I didn't feel like leaving home today. But I went and I did wrestling stuff and I felt better. I think we had a good show today, and it was, you know, and about halfway through the show I realised it was a really good show, because before that my brain was just in a fog. But if you did come to the Progress Show, or if you tweeted me nice stuff today, thanks a lot. It means a lot to me. So to continue just, you know, trying to be positive and be happy, we thought we'd do this Q&A while we're driving along, because me and Matt don't get much time together. No. So the proviso is, as always, if you ask us a really stupid question, I won't answer it. But Matt's filtering them as he goes, and he knows the filters that I work along. Or does he? I mean, he's not editing this podcast, so I can edit out everything he says.
That is so true, yeah.
So then, what's our first question, Matthew?
We are off to a flyer with favourite 90s Serie A footballer. So, someone who played in Serie A between 1990 and 1999.
Thank you for clarifying what the 90s was.
Hey, there's kids out that weren't even born in the 90s. So.
Who did I really like? I liked Tino Asprilla.
Yep, good shout.
Because I used to love Parma.
Yeah,
Parma were
everyone went for
team.
A Parma phase. They had Lirim, Taram and Cannavaro and Buffon. Cracking.
You managed to make Buffon sound French then.
Buffon!
I also really like Freddy Rincon when he was at Napoli.
Oh, shit.
There was a football shop in Leicester that me and my mates used to go in on a Saturday afternoon. And we'd go in and they always had like really bizarre football shirts for cheap.
Yeah.
So I'd go in, but they printed them in there. So I'd always buy them and have them printed. And I remember buying... I bought some mad shirts in there. I bought a Napoli shirt and had Rincon on the back of it.
Yeah.
I remember doing that. Can't go wrong with Batistuta.
Oh, Batty goal.
Yeah.
Textbook. What a player. And it's to the point where it annoys me that Lionel Messi exists, because he should, and Diego Maradona, because he should always be classed as the greatest Argentinian footballer of all time.
A phenomenal player. What? Always really good in Pro Evo.
Oh, well.
Not as good as Christian Vieri was in one of the Pro Evos, where Christian Vieri was essentially unfair.
Yeah.
It was like having Braun Strowman playing up front for you.
Do you know what? I really enjoyed when Batistuta went to Roma. You know when Roma basically bought the league? Yeah. Wasn't it Capello was manager? That was like early 2000s. And it was him and Vincenzo Montella that played up front. The archetypal, like, big man, little man combination. What
I love a good big man, little man strike force. Speaking as a man who supported a Leicester team that had Emil Heskey and Tony Cotty as their strike force for
textbook.
A long time.
I think mine is really boring, but I'll explain why, because I was so a massive Football Italia fan. Like James Richardson is my actual hero. Mm. Like no one in wrestling even becomes. I could meet Stone Cold Steve Austin and be like, "All right, Steve." But if James Richardson walked in a room, I'd probably lose my collective.
I wonder if he's a wrestling fan, because I know Gabriel Marcotti is.
Yes,
because we follow each other on Twitter and I occasionally talk to him about wrestling. And I've invited him to Progress shows, but it turns out he's always too busy on a Sunday watching Italian football.
I know, and I like their podcast as well. Galazzo is wonderful. But yeah, so there's a lot of players that I liked that was probably a little bit like lesser known, but the one player that made me watch Italian football with my dad every week was George Weah.
Oh, that goal from a corner?
That's exactly it. The goal where he's...
On a terrible San Siro pitch.
Yeah.
Because in the 90s was when, like, they'd not figured out how to water and put sun on that pitch. And they're gone. It's almost like they're gone. These stands are a bit big. Why is there no grass?
The best thing about that goal is it's the best and worst goal ever scored. Because if you, like... When you first watch it, and when I watched it as a kid, I was like, he's literally ran the length of the pitch and beat every single player in the opposition team who's, I can't remember even who they're playing against. But then you go back and watch it.
Lecce.
And the defence.
I bet it was Lecce. And if I'm wrong, then...
Answers on a postcard.
At Jim Smallman.
But if you go back and watch the defending, it's nearly as bad as the Argentinian defence trying to take down Michael Owen in 1998. If they were a wrestler, I would book them on every show because they made him look like a megastar. But yeah, George Weah was just like that wonderful, untamed, wild man that could only exist in like 1990s football and especially in Serie A. Right, are you ready for the next question?
Yes, good.
Favourite progress match this year and of all time?
It changes every day. Mm-hmm. This year, it's one of three. It's either... All of them have got Walter in. It's either... it's either Walter against Timothy Thatcher, or Walter against Tyler Bate from Wembley, or Walter against Zack Sabre Jr. from today. I actually think Walter and Tim's such a good match, and it's like Walter and Sabre and Walter and Tyler are great matches, but they've been built as big title matches for various reasons, whereas with Tim it was just, I think it was, we all know how great Tim is, but it just went next level bananas from what it was like. Always thought Tyler and Sabre's matches with Walter were going to be great. Always thought Tim's match would definitely be very good, but for it to be as great as it was the biggest leap over my already lofty expectations. So I kind of leaned towards that one a little bit because it took me by surprise. That was great. Outside of that, I think it varies every sort of week. Like I think. Chris Hero, Marty Skirl is really good. I mean, they're all really good. I mean, I like to not put my name to stuff that's not particularly good. I like everything. I'm proud that most things we do are pretty good. That or the first or the Osprey Havoc title change or the super any of the Super Strong Style finals ever. It's hard. It's hard for me. It's like picking a kid. Like, it's really hard for me to pick a favourite. Pete Dunne, Jack Gallagher, I really loved.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay, Travis Banks, I really loved.
Yeah.
They were on the same show.
Shame, yeah, literally back to back. It's crazy.
And that was technically last year, so they count as all time. But, like, yeah, it's hard for me. Like, it depends on my mood any given day, what I choose.
Okay. Which eight wrestlers, I'm jumping in on this one, which eight wrestlers, past or present, would you put in the Ultimate Atlas Division tournament?
So, eight wrestlers over the weight of 205 pounds.
Correct, yes.
Walter,
yes.
Number one.
Yeah.
Tomohiro Ishii, number two. Dunkzilla, number three. Trent Seven, number four, because he's Atlas champion now, so he's got to be in it. Number five. Oh, it's really difficult. Cause coming into these cold, and I have no laptop or anything in front of me where I can quickly consult Wikipedia. Minoru Suzuki, number five. Believe he's of weight, so I think that counts. Not of weight, that makes me sad. I'm not saying you're fat, Minoru.
Yeah,
please don't
say. That's like saying he's of age.
Please don't hunt me down and kill me, Minoru. Samoa Joe, six.
Oh, nice.
Chris Hero, seven. I need one more. One more. William Regal, eight.
Oh, tremendous.
That'll be mine. What's yours?
Akiyama.
Oh, it's great.
Kobashi.
Yeah.
Tawe.
Yeah.
Kawada.
Yeah.
Because Misawa probably wouldn't make weight. Yeah. He wasn't as big as the rest. And then facing Dream Team All Japan would be Scott Norton.
Nice.
Rampage Brown.
Yeah.
Volta.
Yeah.
And Matt Riddle.
I'm going to put a ninth person in, put Yoshiro Takeyama in.
Oh.
I just thought that now. I'm like, oh, no, I'll put Takeyama in.
Murder Squad.
I
like that.
Good question, that. Who was that? Who
gave that was Mark Leslie. Cheers, Mark.
We should probably say the questions is wrong.
Yeah. Oh, God, I've got to read people's Twitter names that are all Halloween. CC Bay, who is at Veggie Warrior XO. Nice. Clearly a Gossip Girl fan there with the old XO. please don't tweet me. Hi guys, safe journey and all that. What's your essential band to any road trip playlist? I mean, do you want me to answer it for you or
essential band for any road trip playlist?
Yeah.
At the minute, it's Idols because not only am I obsessed with them, my wife's obsessed with them, and my two-year-old son. So I showed you the video of him singing GREAT before. Yeah. He loves them. He makes me put them on when I'm in the car. And it's a bit weird because Joy is an Act of Resistance, their current album, is only 38 minutes long, which means we listen to it a lot, repeatedly. In my car, the most listened to bands are the bands I listen to every day. So I listen to Idols every day, I listen to Deftones every day, why can't I remember their name? I'm really struggling with names because I'm fucked. Andy Williams' band, why can't I remember their name?
I listen to hip hop.
I know you do. Well, I can't remember. Well, I listen to them literally every day and I can't remember their name. Oh, I can't look at my phone either. Damn you. He'll come back to me in a minute. Andy Williams, he's a wrestler as well as a.
Every time I die?
Why can't I remember every time I die?
Because when you said Andy Williams, I just thought it was some random bloke. And then I was like, oh, you mean the unit that is the guitarist of one of the coolest rock bands of all time?
Yeah. Every Time I Die, Gallows, Refused. That's my hardcore punk quotient.
Yeah.
For my best friend Brody King, obviously, God's Hate. Because he gets angry with me when he realises I don't necessarily like this.
I think Refuse Shape of Punk to Come as an album on the road is up there.
Also, the album they released a couple of years ago is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I mean, you've got to bear in mind, their lead singer has been on the Swedish version of Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, which is your favourite trivia point.
Which is why Scandinavia is such a better place than the UK.
I'm going to throw in Alexis on Fire as well.
Also, there's the Gallows crossover.
Of course, yeah. Wait.
We're about to get on the M6, guys. We're doing well.
Woo! Get ready for 50 mile an hour speed traps.
Yeah. I'm grabbing my drink. Is there anyone else? If I'm travelling along with my wife, because she doesn't like, as she quotes it, that shouty music you listen to, we have to put Lana Del Rey on, because people who know me well will know I am the largest Lana Del Rey fan from the fan base of people who shouldn't be Lana Del Rey fans, because I think she's the modern coming of Nancy Sinatra.
Anything sad, sign him up. Is basically this. Alright, so we've got at Fish Chips Whips. I mean, it's a cracking combination of delicacies and wrestling moves, or bondage.
Slang for cars.
Oh,
you should know this shit.
Come on,
you should know your vernacular of the music.
True.
Genre of your choice.
Anyway, the question is, favourite WWE Network show, in-ring or not, or both? So I'm assuming that's favourite network show at the moment.
NXT UK. Why could that be?
Disclaimer, the comments expressed here by Jim Smallman aren't reflective of how much of a sellout he is.
NXT UK, because I'm involved with it. If it's not for the show that I'm involved with, it's NXT.
I mean, are you together or is it complicated? Or
fuck you. covered this when I recorded a podcast in my kitchen last week. So NXT UK, partly because I'm involved with it, partly because loads of my friends are on it. If not that, NXT, because I'm a big fan of it, and again, loads of my friends are on it. and that show's just absolutely out of this world. I mean, I watch the network most days, mainly to watch a random old ECW show I want to watch or whatever. I think I really love the Mae Young Classic this year. I really love 205 Live as well, and go out of my way to watch them. And I think the sort of non-in-ring stuff, I really like stuff like Ride Along and that. I often watch it because it's on at the end of something that I'm watching, and then I leave it on and go, I really enjoy this. But Table for Three, I genuinely love.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, I wish, like, one day I wish I could do something like that. Like, it's really, really, really interesting.
You heard it here first. Network exclusive 2025. Briley, Joseph, Smallman, Table for Three.
And that's the point where we all hate each other as well.
And it's entitled, Where Did All Our Money Go? For me personally, I love 205. If you ever wonder, is anyone still watching 205? Yes, me. Because Mustafa Ali is the best wrestler in the world at the minute. He's not.
And he's also the nicest human.
Oh, he is just amazing.
I tweeted this week. He did a talk in a school. And I know a lot of the WWE guys get asked to do these things as part of the deal. They are meant to be role models to kids. But he's taking it to a whole new level of this. You know, he knows that because of his background, he would have been a very different wrestler 10, 20 years ago in terms of how he was positioned and what his character would have been. And the fact that he's going out of his way to be this positive role model, as well as, you know, let's be honest, in-ring him being,
phenomenal.
Ridiculously good.
Phenomenal.
It's tremendous.
And his promos have been outstanding, the ones he sort of does on his own. Mm. But the one he did for Hideo Itami in the rain, wearing the Roots a fight jacket, and I was just like, woof, sign me up, and absolutely smashed out of the park. Also, Mae Young this year has been absolutely phenomenal, but we're probably going to cover that a little bit later on because I know we've got some other sort of linked questions. Kieran Page asks, what is the best and worst part of working / travelling with each other?
The best part is, we were talking about this before, we really like, we can spend a lot of time together and not dislike each other.
Yes.
And which is good, because and when we work together, I literally don't see you join a show. I have nothing to do with commentary.
I think technically we have never worked together, because even this isn't really,
but you
work
for Progress.
Yeah, so I work for you, but one of three of you.
Yeah, but like you work with Glenn. And you're not involved in like the creative stuff and putting the shows together we are. So we don't ever really need to work together. We just, you know, we can travel to the show and back, and we can have our own opinions on it and talk about ideas and stuff. But we don't really work together in that regard. I don't, like, Matt's my mate who works at the same place as me. Matt's not an employee. That's not how I look at it. So
damn right you don't know me.
But essentially, you know, I am paying his bills, so I wouldn't have said it if he hadn't done it. But yeah, so I think the fact that we do kind of like spending time together, and before we started recording this, we have spoken non-stop for the couple of hours since we left London.
I think maybe it was the last time we travelled back together. I just remember us being like really fucked for some reason. We were absolutely shattered, and the only time we ever don't talk is when we're really, really bad. And what usually happens is Jim puts on a stand-up gig or finds a stand-up comedian, and then we listen to it and we kind of just occasionally laugh and acknowledge that we're still both awake. But that is very rare. Usually it's like 5 hours of shite.
There's not many people I travel with that, like, where I don't run out of something to say eventually. And I think with me and you, we have. And don't forget, as you people are asking questions, have realised, like, we're into similar stuff to do with football, and similar stuff to do with video games, and similar stuff to do with music. Like, we're not. We don't just talk about wrestling, we talk about lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, plus Matt knows my family and stuff like that, and we have other friends that we share with, both within the world of wrestling, I'm friends with people because Matt's introduced me to them. So we have a lot in common and genuinely don't hate each other's company. I know on this podcast often we do act like we absolutely hate each other, but That's what's known as being British.
That's the
people you
say,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You're the biggest dicks towards.
Oh God, hideous. And it's one of them wonderful moments where, like, we'll never let each other have the moment until there is no one else around or there is no chance of being traceable, and we'll go, you done really well, mate. I'm dead happy for you. Which has happened quite a lot recently. But yeah, he's still a massive prick.
Thanks, mate.
Mr. Pike, aka the Piker.
Don't tell him your name. That's army joke, guys. I'm 40 years old.
Christ, I thought I made dated references. Well done. Does progress call the gorilla position the gorilla, or do you have your own name for it?
Everyone in wrestling calls it a gorilla position. It's our gorilla. It's where John stands now.
It's our mechanical gorilla.
It's our mechanical gorilla, like in the video game Strider, the first boss. That's a really niche reference. I'm really proud of that. It's called Gorilla with us, just because it's traditional to be called Gorilla. Like, if you're ever backstage at a WWE show, it's called Gorilla, obviously, because that's where the name came from. But it is, even if you go to another company's shows, it's just called Gorilla. I don't think we're clever enough to come up with another name for it. We could call it the Briley position, but that just sounds like some kind of weird yoga thing. I'm fine with it being called Gorilla because it is in, of course, in tribute to a legend. So
if the Briley position was a yoga pose, what pose would the Briley position be? I'm going for downward dog.
I'm going for downward dog with one leg extended above one's head.
Next show, John.
He'd be up for it.
Wonderful.
Good question.
Barak asks, what what mythical being would you both like to see Volta chop? Like Conan the Barbarian punching a horse or a camel?
I would really, really like to see Volta chop the depending on your pronunciation, Minotaur or Minotaur.
Nice.
And I think if we maybe get what was the WWE, the guy who had the bull costume in the 1990s?
Oh, was it not just Minotaur?
No, he was called someone on Twitter used to follow me who was obsessed with this guy. That's we could bring
nice.
Him back,
yeah.
And just get him to. I mean, it'd be weird because Walter's a vegan. So I don't know how comfortably be chopping a beast, even if they're mythical.
Yeah,
like, if you're a human, he's absolutely fine chopping you.
Along that lines, I would want him to have a heavyweight contest with the Yeti.
The Yeti.
And we could bring in Super Ninja and to reprise the infamous role.
And also, the Yeti was a fucking mummy.
Yeah,
I feel with Halloween coming up, we can point this out now. The Yeti was a fucking mummy.
I feel like this has been covered quite heavily, but yeah, there's a lot of
it. He was covered heavily in fucking toilet paper.
And that's the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Jim has peaked.
Good night.
I like the way we still try to logically book mythical creatures. This is a great question from Leggett. Nice one. Have a safe drive home. My question. Favourite edition of Football Manager?
Probably not one for a few years. Like... old ones. I mean, I used to play on the Commodore Amiga when it was called Championship Manager still.
So I've got two, because this is really my question, yeah. let's be honest. Old school era, Champ Man, 0102, classic, red case. You could pick it up for about 10 quid in your local WH Smiths on that. Do you remember that little discount rack? Absolutely amazing. My dad still plays that. That game is older...
I do know that there's people that do play the old editions and just update the
Team. So I got and my modern favourite is Football Manager 2010, which if you know me well enough, I got massively obsessed with that and essentially turned into my dad, because I used to mock my dad for only ever playing 0102. I was like, ugh. I even bought him a Football Manager one year and he never played it, and then it happened to me. But now I'm currently playing FM 17, and I'm waiting for it to go live and everyone to update all the kits and make it good before I buy it.
I get the new one every year, but I have less and less time to play it. I mean, it's the main reason I got a very highly powered MacBook. Was partly because I was writing,
yeah.
And part of it was I just want to be able to play, because playing Football Manager on a laptop is not as good as playing it on a desktop.
No, absolutely.
Because desktop they just perform better. So, like, I've now got a MacBook Pro. partly because I do some video editing, I edit a podcast, and I was writing a book. But mainly because it's really fast to play Football Manager on. It's like super fast. Like, you can play like 20 leagues, and it's super, super fast.
If you want to know, if commentary from tonight's show, chapter 77, is shite, it's because I had to play a pre-season friendly against Liverpool as RB Leipzig. And just to let you know, I'm in my second season, and we beat them 4-2. Nice. Timo Werner, absolute worldie. Just got Mariano Diaz in as well on loan, as well as my backup striker. Hit me up. I know some Das Wonder kids.
Who's Mariano Diaz? Is he the guy who's
at Leon? That's why he's back to Real Madrid. Yeah.
He did great in the Clasico today, didn't they? No.
Yes.
So here's a little insight into progress for you. We have a security guard on our back gate.
He's a fucking hero.
He's called Juan, and he is from Barcelona. I'm not doing Fawlty Towers material.
Are we ringing someone's grandfather in a minute?
And Juan's been, like, since we've been at the ballroom, I think there's maybe one show Juan's not been at. He's lovely, and he sits out in the cold. We'll bring him bottles of water and whatever, and he's fucking sound. He's a huge Barcelona fan. He spent the entire show today listening to El Clásico. And every time I'd sort of walk past him, he'd give me an update. And Barcelona won 5-1 today. meaning that the poor Real Madrid manager is going to get fired from that job 4 months after being fired from the Spain job for talking to Real Madrid. You have messed your life up badly, son.
Yeah, could be worse.
But Juan's a legend, and he's the sort of person that we never really make a fuss over because he never comes in the venue, so you guys never see him. You might occasionally see him if you're in the smoking area or whatever. But he's lovely. All the wrestlers love him. Like, everyone knows him really well. He knows who everyone is by sight and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good guy. And there's a lot of unsung people you don't always know about, and he's one of them. He's a good dude.
Shout out to Juan.
Just popped into my head.
Yeah. Right, this is more for you, because it's not my fighting game of choice. Tristan asks, what are your top 5 Street Fighter characters?
Number one is Akuma / Gookie. I'm gonna give them their proper names. Westernized name first, original Japanese name second. So Akuma / Gookie, I have tattooed on me.
Yeah.
Second would be Vega / Balrog, who I have tattooed on me.
Solid.
Then Zangief, who I use a lot because I'm good at doing a spinning pile driver.
Yeah.
Just like real life. Not like real life. Then Evil Ryu, and then Ken. I don't like regular Ryu.
He's a bit wet, isn't he?
He's just, oh, what's your mission in life? I'm just going to walk barefoot around the world.
Really? See, because, like, here's a good comparison. I like Tekken. Because you're not good at video games. Yeah, because I'm not very good at video games. And I'm about 12.
Just like going,
yeah. Fucking pick Eddie Goro or Hwarang and just go nuts. But like Yin Kazama is a good example. Like Yin Kazama is the main protagonist, maybe now antagonist as a series has gone on. But he was never wet. There was never a point where I was like, oh, he's the golden boy, I don't want to pick him. Like, I always
get the impression that like Ryu originally in Street Fighter 2, because no one remembers the first Street Fighter
because it was shite. Yeah.
Although the original arcade machine, some of them had like punch sensors, so you could actually just punch or kick it.
But they weren't that well in Blackpool.
Yeah, and then the whole arcade was on fire. So I think from Street Fighter 2, like Ryu was sort of enigmatic and a quiet, brooding character, which Japanese video games are fond of having. He wasn't dissimilar to the central character in the Fist of the North Star manga and anime and whatever. And like, it kind of made sense. As the game series has gone on, like Ken's grown up, had a family, has made something of himself. Ryu's still not washing and travelling around the world punching people in the head. Like, he needs to grow up and get a job. Learn a trade, Ryu. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, isn't it as well, like, on the first Street Fighter, it tells you how old he is, so you can actually work out how old he is now. And isn't he, like, 40-something odd?
Well, he's older than that now, because I think he was...
Was he, like, 28? Something
so
you've got like to
remember, the first Street Fighter 2 must have come out when I was 13 or 14, and I'm 40. And he must have been, let's say his character was even 20 then.
Yeah.
He's well in his late 40s now.
Grow
if
up.
Not older.
Just grow up, you dirty tramp. Go on.
Right, another banging question from Daz. Favourite 90s Serie A, there's a theme, shirt that isn't the beautiful Fiorentina number with the Nintendo sponsor, which is an absolute classic.
I'm presuming this dude is the dude who wore it to a program.
It is Daz, yeah, the Scottish lad, yeah.
Parma shirt I had that my parents bought me from one of my birthdays in the 90s. Umbro. It's when they'd won the Italian Cup, so they had the little target over it, which you always have when you've won the Italian Cup. Sponsored by Parmalat.
Ooh.
Very simple, like a lot of Umbro kits were in the 90s. Very simple, very classic, very clean kit. Big fan of that. I've never owned a Juventus kit.
No.
Because I've never liked them.
Because you don't work for them.
So
you might want to edit that out.
I don't like, this is the thing. So every now and again, if you're in London, you'll see people going into the big, like there's a big Nike shop and there's a big Adidas shop and whatever, and you'll see people going in and buying Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund shirts.
For
a long, when we won the league, like you could buy the Leicester shirt in the Puma shop on Carnaby Street, which I love that. I thought it was amazing. To be fair, my Leicester shirt I'm wearing today, I bought from JD Sports in London because we're now an okay sized team, so I can actually buy my shirt outside of our club shop.
Yeah.
I still can't buy it like in the JD Sports in Chester, near where I live, but I can buy it in London.
All them Chester City shirts blocking everything up.
No, there's none. And I'm always astonished that, like, there's people there's British people in this country who go, yeah, my Italian team's Juventus. And I'm like, why?
So here's the thing. This is what blew my mind. So I've just been to Amsterdam, like, a few weeks ago. And going
great,
to...
greatest city in the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. Phenomenal. And taking the pilgrimage to Ajax's stadium, which is now the Johan Cruyff Arena, was, like, literally
did
the closest...
Yeah. Did you get to a game?
No, so I stupidly went, oh, they're playing on Saturday, we'll go on the Sunday. Turned up and they were playing Alkmaar. And
it's quite a big game.
Yeah, it's a massive game.
I went to Ajax PSV the day after I got married.
So I think they won like 5-1. Mm-hmm. Anyway, like it was great. And so we turned up. So I wanted to go to club shop. I got like a track jacket and a scarf. But what blew my mind is next door they've got like a big department store or like sports shop, the equivalent of JD Sports. And they were selling the Paris Saint-Germain Jordan kit. And as a Lyon fan, that offended me on many levels.
So I remember going to St James's Park a few years ago, visiting my good friend Tony Jameson, who used to live round the corner from the ground.
Put down the CrossFit for 1 second. We still love you, though.
So So we went in there, and they were selling all kinds of football kits because they had a Sports Direct.
Yeah,
obviously, because Mike Ashley, you know what he is. So the Juventus thing, like, I'm also quite a lot of. Like, Juventus weren't the best team in Italy in the 90s.
No.
AC Milan were.
Yes.
And then there was a couple of seasons where literally anyone could have fucking won it.
Yeah.
I've had some mad shirts from then. I had the Napoli shirt I mentioned before. I had a weird Napoli away kit. I had an Udinese kit at one point. Like, what I like at the minute is, if you've got FIFA, go on FIFA now and just look through the kits in Serie A. And, like, There's not many absolute standout bangers of kits. Sassuolo's is always quite
nice.
But again, they weren't. I don't think they even existed in the
90s.
Because of the weird transient nature of Italian football. If you had to pick an Italian team, who would it be? Because I must stress this now. Like, Matt supports Lyon. Matt's team is Lyon, right? We've got to the bottom of this once before. I forget why, but they're his team. My team's Leicester City.
Yeah.
The end. There's other teams I like, but I don't have another team. Can't have another team.
I think growing up, I always liked, because it wasn't so much the 90s, because I used to watch Football Italia through it, but I didn't really have a team. I just liked, I think I probably liked AC Milan.
Just checking where we're
recording. Oh, right, okay. Here
a
we
weird
are.
Panic if we're recording.
Yeah, yeah. So I liked AC Milan because they were good and...
And had a lot of Dutch players.
Yeah. But I think, for me, the one team that stuck was Roma. You know, when Totti started coming through and stuff like that. But then I get what you mean, because I didn't support them. I just was like, they're my preference.
So my grandmother was Italian, so, and she was originally from Salerno, which is near Napoli.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Salernitana, who former Leicester City left back Danny Teato used to play for.
What a reference!
One of the dirtiest footballers I've ever seen play, and I've seen Ben Thatcher play. Also played for us, and once got sent off against us in one of the worst tackles I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I always find like, we'll go on a weird tangent just about you. It's a weird tangent about Juventus.
Welcome to the Galazzo section of the Jim Smallman Experience.
I'll be honest, I'm just doing everything to stay alive and not tired at this point. Right, carry on.
Anyway, back to wrestling. Jamie Smith, solid name. What would your dream team of four wrestlers for a War Games or Survivor Series match be? That's a good question, that.
Dream team. Let's do it. Let's answer this in a different way, Matt. Let's do be team captains. So we pick one person each, so, and let's have our teams against each other.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to put a bit of a spin on it, because are we going to do it from just modern wrestlers? Let's do it from current.
Current.
You're
current.
Right, okay. So, I'm driving, so I'm going to choose first. So I pick mine first. Pete Dunne.
Solid. I will take. Oh, Christ. I'll take Tommaso Ciampa.
Nice. I think in this you've got to kind of have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Represent. So you kind of need people who can do a bit of brawling, can do a bit of wrestling, can do a bit of everything, really. I think both those guys fit the bill. So, who's next for me? I would choose. We also have people who are willing to do crazy stuff as well. Next up, I would choose Kevin Owens.
Solid choice, because I would choose Cassius Ohno as my Arn Anderson.
Nice. My next choice would be. I would choose. I want to choose someone big. I don't want to go obvious and choose Braun, although I do love Braun. I really do. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah.
Dude, he'd wrestled 10 matches before he debuted on Raw. that's so insane.
Yeah.
I would choose. I want to choose someone from. I'll choose Walter. Fuck it, Walter.
Okay. Sticking with my theme, I am going to choose Aleister Black.
Nice. Big history with him and Walter there. Good.
Yeah.
And my final choice would be. You've gone very NXT heavy here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I've gone all over the place because I can. I would choose Naito.
Nice. My final choice is going to be Seth Rollins to round out the angry, grungy, rocky, gothy indie boys stable. And like the end of the match will be Seth Rollins getting powerbombed into the roof of the cage by Volta and then landing on his head.
Full Sid and Brian Pillman.
Yeah, 100%. Good question, though. I like that. Another good question from at Big Boss Fan. I'm assuming this Adam Knight. But anyway, with Panto season coming up, which currently active wrestler would make the best? Is it Widow Twanky? I don't do Panto.
Question
okay.
Glenn.
I know, jazz hands.
The best wrestler to play Widow Twanky. Now, bearing in mind, Widow Twanky is always played by a man.
Yes, so yeah, I got it.
But it's always played by. It works better. I think Glenn's played Widow Twanky, genuinely,
yeah.
At a panto. But, I mean, Regal's the ideal choice for this.
Oh, yeah,
I cannot stress this.
All right.
Regal's but he's current wrestler, right? So it can't be Regal.
Yeah. Because I would have said Dave Taylor.
Oh, I really want to tell people. I don't want to ruin it because people need to see Regal's stage.
Yeah.
But the story about him and
the
fans
of
the opera thing is so good.
By the way, Regal and Taylor as the Ugly Sisters. All I'm saying is Progress Wrestling presents Panto chapter.
Mate, don't give me ideas. I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm sure Glenn would be okay with that, as long as he could play whatever, the Cinderella or whatever, you know.
Who to choose? You need someone, like, you need a sense of humour to do it. You need to be a big old bruiser of a lad, but also you need to have an inherent humour and campness. Who have you got?
Eddie Dennis. What's the kidding?
I mean, the Welsh accent does make it.
Is that what I thought? I was like, perfect.
Who else could I choose? Who else?
Walter.
I mean, you spent time with Walter, right?
Yeah.
He's the most serious human being in the world.
Why it's funny in my head.
Why am I a woman? just even explaining the concept of panto to me, I'd rather never be around wrestling again than try and explain the concept of panto to Walter. I feel it would be the most bizarre experience of my entire life.
Come on, Smallman.
Timothy Thatcher.
Oh, he'd be so good.
And he would apply himself perfectly.
Yeah, a textbook execution. Does the basics really well. Okay. That's a bit of a samey question from we've had before. It was favourite chapter main event this year, but we've kind of nailed that one.
If you do ask us the same question we've already kind of covered, we're not ignoring you. We just, you know, we don't want to repeat ourselves.
Oh, at Shaggy Dudley. Great. At... asks, best song to sing on a car ride home?
For me, because I do it with my son when I pick him up from nursery, it is Great by Idols, because he just sings the G-R-E-A-T bit, and I like it because it's an incredibly left-wing anti-Brexit song, and so I'm a big fan of it.
Following in a similar vein, someone who's very anti-Brexit, Genuine and Pony.
I was talking to my wife about this the other day. About she did say to me, "What would your theme music be if you were a wrestler?" I went, "Pony by Genuine."
Oh my God.
And I did it just to crack her off. But she went, "All right," and she no-sold it. She no-sold all my jokes now. But surely a wrestler has used that. Surely Human Tornado's used it. Tweet us now. Has a wrestler and what Wikipedia have took this shit away from us now, so we don't know.
Yeah.
Tweet us at Jim Smallman. Hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw, if a wrestler has ever used Pony by Genuine as their entrance music. If you are a wrestler, do it.
Do you know who might have?
Who?
Stokely.
And also I was thinking, I know where I've heard it, because at a Fight Club Pro show, Session Moth came out and danced on a guy on his stag do.
Yes, and yes, that happened. Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Mick Cooper asks, if you had to pick now, who wins the 2019 Royal Rumble, the 2019 Battle of Los Angeles, and the 2019-16 Carrot?
Thank you for not including Super Strong Style like that, because I just give it away. So, winner of the 2019 Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan.
Nice.
Winner of the 2019 Battle of Los Angeles, Bandido.
Oh.
Winner of 2019 16 Carat. I don't know who's been announced for this yet, if anyone has been announced.
I think Daisuke got announced.
Then maybe Daisuke, but I want to say Ilya Dragunov.
Solid choice. I am going to go with Seth Rollins for the Royal Rumble.
Actually, no, I'm going to change my mind about 16 Carat. David Starr. Fucking hell.
You went real partridge. You are welcome on that one. Royal Rumble, Seth Rollins, because I like predictability. Battle of Los Angeles. That's a tough one. Ooh, Robbie Eagles.
I feel bad now for not saying Brody King.
They win it
in 2020.
But so your friendship's way more solid than that, mate. Don't worry about it.
I hope so. But 2020 is when he wins it.
16 Carat, Guns. Bobby Guns should win that. Or win something. We all love the Guns. Loves
can't
a cigarette.
Get over the fact that you can smoke indoors in Germany.
I was bossing it.
Still blows my mind.
He's blowing away. Mikey Galazzari? I believe I probably butchered your surname. I apologise. Mikey asks, how far along are you on Red Dead Redemption, and have you named your horse? If so, what? The reason I'm asking this is his follow-up question's arguably better, because his follow-up question is, ideas for great wrestling-themed horse names.
Good Lord. Right. So, I am, as of last night, 9.3% complete.
And how are your horse's testicles looking?
My horse is called Graham, because I deliberately named him Graham.
Good.
There's a reason for this. It's a very silly, specific to my family reason, and that is, ages ago I did a gig, years ago, it was way before I met my wife, I did a gig in Northampton, and Tamsin, who's the very nice lady who booked me for it, my daughter was very little at the time, and she made me a little sock monkey for her, knowing that my daughter had collected them. She used to have hundreds of them. So I've got this little sock monkey, and then my daughter said, why don't you just take it around with you? So I used to take it with me places and take photos of it and send it to her. And then when I first met my wife, Graham, this sock monkey, we were taking photos of him, and then one day he fell off, and my wife just went Graham and was like really upset that he'd fallen over. And now I will name as many things Graham as possible. Graham the sock monkey now lives with my son, I was like, I've got to name the horse, I'm going to call it Graham. And also I bought the ultimate edition of Red Dead Redemption, so he's a thoroughbred horse, he's pretty good.
I've got a really good horse name.
Yeah,
but it's more of like a horse racing name. You can lead a horse to Volta, but you can't force it to drink.
That's good. I don't think I'm going to top that.
So that is literally...
I think it was German, you can't force it to trink, if I believe that is...
All right, mate.
Trinken is to drink, isn't it?
Oh, there you go.
Someone will correct me. I did GCSE German. People who are good at maths will realise 24 years ago.
Good.
God, I'm old.
Right.
On the M6 toll now, by the way, guys.
Good. Because we've got AstroTurf and money to burn. Aussie Wrestling Gifts asks, following on from Gino today, which Australian wrestler or wrestlers would you like to see in the ballroom next? I've already said mine would be Robbie Eagles.
Mine would also, first choice would be Robbie Eagles, because I think he's phenomenally good. We've already had Jonah there, and now we've had Gino there. So I know all three of those guys already, and all three of them are very, 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 very good, and lovely chaps, which always really helps. I'm trying to think, like, we had a great experience in Australia, especially if I had to pick any show out of the three. Enjoyed our time in Perth, enjoyed our time in Sydney, but the show we did with MCW in Melbourne, which Gino wasn't on, but that was great. I'd like Elliot Sexton to appear in the ballroom. He's appeared in America for us. He is Australian but lives in America.
Side note, stumbled across his YouTube show the other day. Genuinely brilliant.
It's great, isn't it?
Genuinely brilliant.
I'd forgotten I'd even filmed that stuff with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where I, like, he basically went, I've got an idea, I just want you all to be mean to me all day. And we're like, not a problem. We've been on a bus with you for 2 hours. We're all ready to kill you. He got on a bus. You see, if you don't know what Elliot Sexton looks like, he's 6'5" tall and is chiselled out of granite.
Yeah, like stereotypical Calvin Klein model.
Yeah. But, like, he's a good-looking lad, he's tall, he's good at wrestling, and he's incredibly tanned. One day he got on our bus to do one of our, like, really long bus journeys, a 5 or 6 hour bus journey in America, shirtless. Like, we get it, mate. We've been wrestling today.
Yeah.
We've seen you without your shirt on, and honestly, you've never seen a man of his size and stature more mercilessly bullied by everybody on that bus. Even people a lot smaller than him.
Yeah.
Just because we're like, put your fucking shirt on, dickhead. We get it. And we, since then, we have... I mean, you'll see on Twitter, me and Brody bully him all the time because it's fun. But he is, in all honesty, very good at what he does. And his little YouTube thing's great because sometimes... like, you have to get noticed by doing other stuff, and that's how I think Glenn was first had his attention drawn to him.
He got my attention. I also love the bit where Tony comes out of the suitcase.
Yeah,
that's great. Right, Brian Spoon 79, which is the less successful follow up to.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
99 Red Bull.
Wait, you fucking scrabbling. Improv's hard, isn't it?
It's terrible. I'm not a comedian, nor will I ever be.
Not with that attitude.
Got you through 15 years. You get the chance to remake Street Fighter the movie. Now we're talking. Which six Progress roster members do you choose to play the following? Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, Bison, Kami, and Zangief.
Okay. Right, Zangief.
Yeah.
Is Walter with a beard.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who else on the roster we could get to do it.
No.
So it's Walter with a beard.
Right.
Or it's Trent. Trent is Trent with an accent.
Oh, no, bad. Oh, Kuala Lumpur communism.
Mother Russia.
and the delirium is setting in.
So good. Zangief is definitely Trent Seven.
Yes.
Ken is Matt Riddle.
Yeah, 100%.
Chun-Li is... I'm going to make Chun-Li Millie McKenzie.
Right.
Who else have we got? So that's three down.
Yeah, so we got Kami, Bison, and Ryu left.
Bison is Chris Brooks in a large overcoat.
Okay. Do you know who I would consider for Bison at the minute?
Who?
Robbo, Paul Robinson.
I think Bison's meant to be tall. That's the only reason I've gone that way.
Oh, I ride slag. I'm gonna slap you from pillow to face.
Kami would be Isla Dawn because I think actually facially she looks like her.
I was going to say Tony, but yeah.
And because Kami's meant to be British. She's just played by an Australian in the Street Fighter movie.
What a film.
Like Guile was played by a Belgian guy, so who cares? And then we're left with Ryu.
Yeah.
Tyler Bate, because he can do the 1-inch punch.
That's true, yeah. Fact. Martial arts.
Martial arts.
The martial arts. Adam.
Not using martial arts. That's
no,
right.
Good lord, no. Adam asks, one wrestler from the current Progress roster, one wrestler from WWE/NXT, and one wrestler from anywhere else in the world, book a triple threat. I mean, you were very demanding here, Adam, but fair play.
I mean, I'm not actually going to book it, Adam. I'm going to fantasy book it. So I hope that's all right. One wrestler from current Progress. Depends what. See, this is when people give you booking questions. I'm going to let you in a little secret here. What you have to think about is you have to, when you are a booker, as is one of my jobs within Progress, what you have to think about is you have to think about whether they make storylines, matches make storyline sense, whether people want to see them, and what business it does. So if you're saying I've got to choose the very best from Progress, the very best from WWE NXT, the very best from anywhere else in the world. Like, if you wanted a big money match, you would go Pete Dunne from Progress. You would go... I know he's NXT UK, but I'd still go Pete Dunne from Progress. He still works for us. I'm just going purely on name value. You go Pete Dunne, and then you'd probably, I'm going to just go NXT rather than main roster. So
yeah, yeah.
Then you'd do Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Then you'd do Okada or Naito, because they're the two biggest, arguably the biggest draws in New Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
If I wanted to do it for a match I really, really wanted to see, which is a different thing, I would do Walter, Cassius Ohno, and probably Kenny Omega.
Nice.
Probably. Who would you do?
Ooh, it's difficult. I'd probably do, oh man, that's hard actually, like legitimately hard.
If you think, if just based on your sensibility of what you want to watch, because that's the thing, like I could, you could go completely bananas with it, like
yeah,
you could
yeah,
just
yeah.
go Paul Robinson, Velveteen Dream and Bandido.
Yeah,
I'd watch
yeah.
the shit out of that.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
yeah,
me just
sure.
going random. That's like me doing random name generator.
Yeah.
I could, let's do another one. I could do Tyler Bate versus Johnny Gargano versus Brody King.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could literally, you could just, if you're cherry picking people who are in the top percentage of being
yeah.
good, anything can work.
I would go with Zach Gibson versus Velveteen Dream versus Eddie Kingston, and not let them wrestle, just talk for 30 minutes.
Just a promo battle. Yeah. I love Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, what a man. He's a top dude, man. Top dude. Gareth asks, do you think you'd have behaved any differently at school if Eddie Dennis was your head teacher?
At school, here's the thing. Like, I was really, really well behaved at school until I was maybe 15. And by which point, you could be the Incredible Hulk, I didn't give a shit. Because I wasn't a bad teenager, just a miserable teenager who wasn't happy and I did lots of stupid stuff. So, yeah, so like it wouldn't have really mattered. What I needed, and it turns out this is the thing that this is me actually making a serious point on this podcast, but the teacher I actually needed when I was 15 is the teacher who actually made a difference in my life, and that was my English teacher. So my GCSE English teacher was also my A-level English teacher, and then when I became a teacher, she was my boss. And she was the one who said, hey, you're really good at this creative writing malarkey. I know you're not particularly good at all the other academic stuff because you clearly don't want to be here, but you're quite good at this creative writing stuff. Have you thought about going to university? Have you thought about doing A-levels, whatever? And it was her who saw what I was good at and recognised it. And that, I think that's the key to really good teaching, is not necessarily being sinister and yelling at you. It's actually making you believe in yourself. And like, she really gave me a confidence boost, because it was the thing I was good at. It's the thing I was good at when I was younger. We got to the M6 toll, guys. I'm just paying the toll.
So if she could see you now paying by card on the M6 toll, he's got contactless, and he's been approved. We are through.
My third debit card of the last month. I never lost a debit card, and I lost one on the trip to Germany when we did our shows out there. And I've never been more.
Have fun if you are now in Oberhausen and you've just become Jim Smallman.
I hate losing stuff. I know where everything I own is. Also,
sorry, mate, you lost your sanity a long time ago.
Thank you.
Alan Smith asks, "What's your favourite type of bread?"
Wow.
He doesn't ask, ha ha ha. That was me being like angry. What's your favourite type of bread? Talk to me.
The frozen medium sliced brown loaf I've got in my freezer at the minute. I don't eat a lot of bread. I know I'm all cute for bread, but I really don't eat a lot of it. I like a flatbread.
Yeah, yeah, I like a flatbread.
I like a pitter and some hummus.
So, there is some decent gluten free breads out there. Started doing a lot of seedy stuff now. Like, not like, we got any leeches for this, but you know, like chai seeds and stuff. The best bread based gluten free delicacy is crumpets, particularly Genius crumpets. Gluten free, crumpets are banging. Warburtons have just started doing one, but you're really paying for the name value. They're not that great.
This has been Breadwatch with with Matthew Taylor Richards.
There's
next on Radio 4, a book of bedtime.
There's celiacs and gluten intolerant people that are
I used to work
loving
in a drugs warehouse, not like the one in RoboCop. Clarence Boddicker in RoboCop. I used to work in Hinkley, Unichem warehouse. So I used to work in there, and we used to sell I used to work on a production line, just like assembling orders. So you get like a thing, and you go to a location, and you put stuff in a tub, and it go down the conveyor belt. And there used to be like gluten free stuff there, and that was before like the gluten free stuff as it used to look like would look like plastic.
Yeah,
it looked like a sample loaf they used to put in MFI. is MFI still a place? Does MFI still... It doesn't.
I feel like they all exist now.
I went to a DFS the other day.
Yeah.
I tweeted a picture. Because they've got, like, these anthropomorphic dog statues that look like Mr. Peanut Butter from BoJack Horseman. And the amount of people who tweeted me... Because I legit went and bought a sofa. Like, I didn't put it on interest-free credit. I actually saved the money up and bought it. And the amount of people who went, oh, they've still got a sale on then. I'm like, oh shit, that is still a joke.
These
years on. I mean, I don't think they advertised it, but yeah, I mean, the sofa was half price.
Well, there you go. Grim Taylor, who's Jim Taylor, I'm assuming, real name, just more spooky. Salutations, Jim and Matt, hope you're both well. As it's Evolution tonight, I was wondering which female indie workers you would each like to see debut in progress, open brackets, apart from Miko Satomura, close brackets, safe travels, lads.
And technically Jordan's already debuted for us because she appears.
Yes.
Because Jordan Grace would be the other one who I think is phenomenal. And Miko, obviously, because me and Miko have got a brilliant friendship now where we wave at each other whenever we're at shows together.
Oh, she's the sweetest.
And she tells me I am a good talker.
So I told you about the story about when we did Super Strong Style. Mm. And Emi Sakura was over as well.
All the Nandos.
They did. So me and two grizzled young veterans went to Nando's. I had a veggie option, don't worry. And we arrived there and Emi and Miko were eating. And that was at 9:30 and we left at 11:30 and they were still eating.
They went
full in and they were having the greatest time in their life. But the sweetest moments was every single time, like they went to a toilet or walked past us, they still came and waved at us and it was adorable.
So you know that really twee stereotype of like Japanese girls being all like hello and all smiling, like Miko is like that, and then murders people.
And then is it actual cold blooded murdering?
She's lovely and she's near my age as well, isn't she? She's a couple of years younger than me, I think. But she's an absolutely lovely human being and someone that I would hope to use in progress in the future. It's complicated. She lives in Japan.
Yeah.
It's not cheap to fly people over. But she is obviously high on the list. Who else is on the list who hasn't worked for us already?
Yeah.
I've got
one.
Okay.
And I think you know who's going to be. I'm biased. I've seen her work a lot because she predominantly works in Manchester for Future Shock, but Lana Austin.
It's a good shout. Like I watched a video of her wrestling one of the, you know, the shows under the arches, not the one I was at, the one after.
Yeah.
I forget who she was wrestling.
They were shows that I missed.
But it was great, genuinely really, really good.
Yeah.
And I met her a few times and I went to Future Shock the other week and I stood and had a chat with her. Because you know, got a lot of time for her. She's a good egg. So So Lana's a good one. Who else? I'm trying to think. Viper would have been one.
I immediately would just assume that Viper had worked for you in some capacity.
It's nearly happened a couple of times, and then it's fallen through for whatever reason. But you know, she's great. So you know, I definitely put her on the list. And then I feel like my knowledge of American female indie workers should be better than it is. I don't know loads outside of the people who've already worked for us in the States or people I've met at our shows or whatever. So you know, my knowledge could always be better, but they're good names, I think.
Yeah. Gareth Butler asks, question for both of you as fellow Welshmen, who is your favourite all-time Welsh football player? See, this is difficult because as a 30-year-old Welshman that has basically had no choice but to support Wales, the greatest player that I ever got to watch and still get to watch is Gareth Bale.
Who is a world-class footballer. He's not my favourite ever Welsh footballer.
No. So if the question is, if it's favourite as in who's the one that makes me go, oh, it's my boy there.
Who's the one that makes us go, oh, holy shit, we might actually win some stuff. Well, we might win games. You've got to bear in mind, like, when I started...
Robson Carnu.
Well, when I started supporting, like... Well, so when I was a kid, my dad went, right, you support Leicester and you support Wales. And I went, okay, Dad, you're bigger than me. And also, fine, if you're going to take me to games. And at that point, the Wales national team, despite having Neville Southall in goal and Ian Rush up front, was not great.
See, this is the thing that people don't realise about Welsh football was, for a long time before this generation, we'd have like, oh, here's a world-class player like Mark Hughes, but here's Andy Legg in defence. Like, it was always, oh, here's Mark Crossley in goal. Yeah, we know he's not Welsh, but he's the best we've got.
So for me, my favourite Welsh player, just based on my own favourites, is Andy King.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
Because he's a hero in the Leicester City side. Because he's obviously won League One, the Championship, and the Premier League, and played in the Wales side that qualified for the Euros, and played consistently during that tournament. He wins. Like, he's great. He's a hero.
Mine's along the same lines of, in terms of favourite, it's Mark Hughes, because I used to watch Blackburn Rovers with my dad for a long time, and we went before Hughes got the job, but Mark Hughes was when he was player manager for Blackburn and then also Wales manager. There was that weird period where he kind of crossed over, but Sparky was the absolute boy.
I'd also say Robbie Savage, who I know is a polarising footballer, but was always great in a Leicester shirt, and I did fight and talk with him once, and he was so nice to me. Like, I mentioned that me and my dad were Leicester and Wales supporters, and he'd like rang my dad after the show and stuff, and just had a chat with him, and he still follows me on Twitter, and every now and again if I need something like publicising, like a stand up show and whatever, I never ask. He just tweets it for me. Like, he retweeted about Wembley. He didn't have to do it. He's got. I remember talking to him and it was like, you got a bit of a reputation. And he went, yeah, it was just an act. I'm just a regular dude.
He is the football equivalent of a good villain.
He's a Conor McGregor in a footballer. He was. I think he's very kind of sensible and sane these things.
Yeah. And you know, he's doing well on punditry, unlike Chris Sutton, other former Blackburn legend. He should not be allowed near a microphone. Shane asks, hypothetically, Progress runs a show in Japan. Which venue would you like to stage it in? I think there's a solid answer.
I mean, Corican's the obvious
one.
Although, if we could run in the venue in, I want to say it's in Osaka, which is where they had that amazing Kobashi Kikuchi Can-Am Connection match.
Yes.
Which is not a huge venue. There's a venue that Dragon Gate runs with that huge stained glass wall.
Oh, that, yeah, the one that's like, yeah, it's like, it's almost like a church, but it's not.
Like,
yeah,
there would be great.
Yeah, that's dope. Is it, the Dragon Gate do the big show, is it Cobe World they do every year? That could be correct. Someone correct
is
me
it
on
Kobe?
That. Yeah, Kobe. Maybe, yeah. Like, Lycos, message me, let me know. He's the boy when it comes to Dragon Gate. That would be cool.
But, like, with me, I either want to do, because there are a lot of people saying, well, where do you want to, because we've done ECW Arena, we've done Wembley Arena and ECW Arena in the same year. The only other venues I'm desperate to do is, I'd love to do Corican, but I'm also aware of how hard it is to do a show in Japan, how difficult it is for us to do, like, one of the reasons we're not doing shows over WrestleMania weekend is, like, you can go to America and do a show where every show is all the same indie wrestlers. But what we tend to do is take loads of people. It's too expensive to take everyone on our roster to New York, so we're not going to do it. We'd rather go there later in the year and make a big deal out of it. And it's the same with Japan. We'd have to fly so many people to Japan. It's hard. But Corican's on my wish list. Even just to go to a show. Yeah. Arena Mexico and Hammerstein. They're my big three.
coming next year. Alid Russ asks, if you could book any wrestler who is no longer with us, who would it be?
Probably Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Like, my appreciation of Eddie Guerrero has especially since having the network, like, I loved him. Before him passing away, I absolutely loved him. But it feels like, thanks to the network and going back and appreciating his stuff in ECW, his stuff in WCW, his early stuff in when he first went over to WWE, like, what a talent. What a ridiculous talent. And like, just imagine doing it. Imagine Eddie Guerrero versus Pete Dunne. Imagine Eddie Guerrero, Tyler Bate, Eddie Guerrero, Zack Sabre Jr., Eddie Guerrero, Walter even. Like, oh, it'd be so good.
So mine would be Brian Pillman.
Also a great choice.
Yeah, just imagine Pillman just ECW slash as he's going into WWF cutting that promo, or a promo like that in the ballroom, that's all I'm saying. Also, shout out to professional wrestler, that man, Joey Hayes, who we share a really mutual love of a more of a mid-card wrestler, but Brad Armstrong.
So, this is... I've got to know more about Brad Armstrong by... weirdly knowing his brothers.
Yeah.
So Brian, Road Dogg, and Scott. Scott was a wrestler and was a ref. Most people would, from recent years, will know Scott more as a referee. In WWE.
All the Armstrongs were wrestlers to an extent, right?
Yeah. So Steve was as well.
Yeah.
But most people know either Brad, because, like, whenever you talk to his brothers about it, they're always like, Brad was the best. Brad was absolutely out of this world. Next level,
yeah,
unbelievable. And there's a, I think there's a Brad Armstrong Justin Liger match. There's a Brad Armstrong Pillman match from WCW. He was special. He was genuinely something special. Yeah. And I understand. And it's not just down to sort of brotherly love between those guys. They waxed lyrical about how good he was, how he could turn his hand to anything. And you know, it's just like, knowing those guys, and they're two of the nicest people I've ever met, Scott and Brian. Yeah. Like, so nice.
Awesome.
And so Brad Armstrong's a good shout.
So the very excited young man, long time listener, first time tweeter, Scroobius Pip.
Who that?
As J. Cole once asked.
He's asked us a few questions, hasn't he?
He's just gone off on one, Annie, because he's like, it's my network, I'll do what I want.
Must be lagered up.
He's known for that lagering. That's what the kids call it. Who is more convincing as a heel than Paul Robinson? How good would Rhea Ripley be as a diesel?
Let's do one question at a time.
Okay.
Let's do one question at a time.
Who's a more convincing heel than Paul Robinson?
No one.
Like,
I'm frightened of him. Like, legit. Like, I'm absolutely fucking terrified of him. He is the most terrifying human being I've ever met.
Me and Glenn were chuckling today because there was someone at the ballroom who Robbo was getting in their face, and a minute Robinson turned their back, they stood up and like squared up.
So
to
it was
him.
On the side, wasn't it?
And we were like, that's the funniest thing in the world ever, because I wouldn't even have the bollocks to do it behind his back. So fair play to you if that was you today in the ballroom.
The thing is as well, is obviously we know him, and he is not like that backstage, although he does have a way of, like, you know, like, you know, Ray Winston.
I mean, not right. Personally, but like, yeah.
So, you know, when Ray Winston plays someone in a film,
yes,
he's playing Ray Winston.
Yeah,
like if Ray Winston was in a fucking Shakespeare, we're like, it's just fucking dagger I've seen before me. Like, it's like, it's Ray Winston playing Ray Winston.
Yeah.
His character is Ray Winston. Like, Robbo's a bit like that. Like, whether it's smiley babyface Robbo or his evil, terrifying, twitching muscles, genuinely scary as fuck Robbo, like, backstage he's still quite calm.
Yeah.
But there's always just that air of, like, the amount of times he just strays into a story where you're like, you're a fucking frightening man.
Yeah.
And I'm desperate to get him on the podcast or something, and he's agreed to do it. He's just, he has commitments, has a family and a job and stuff. But I find Robbo, his story's interesting as well. I find him fascinating.
Yeah,
I think he's like, but also like, it's not an act. He's legit nails. He was a European kickboxing champion. Like, he's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
And he's just, he's terrifying. I'm trying to think of heels who are... I think Tommaso Ciampa is that terrifying.
Yeah. He's got that level of intensity, yeah.
I think Tommaso Ciampa's that terrifying. I think the only other time I can think of anyone who's that terrifying is Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Bruiser Brody in Japan, going out swinging a chain and not bothering who he's.
So I'm reading Gary Hart's book at the minute.
Oh, cool.
And it's by the way, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's such a shame that it's out of print, because I got a PDF of it. And it's phenomenal, but having him talk about Brody and just the way that, like, he used to book Brody and handle Brody and stuff like that has made me understand him so much more. I watched the documentary that's a High Spots documentary that's actually on demand. There you go.
Oh, he's on Progress.
Yeah, it's where I watched it. That was great, but really hearing about Gary Hart talk, he talks a little bit about Abdullah the Butcher as well, and you know, sort of the myth around, like, Brody not wanting to lose and blah, 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 blah. And it's really interesting to have it from someone's point of view who booked him to work, but also cared a lot about him. And he's fascinating, super fascinating. Anyway, the boss also says, how good would Rhea Ripley be as Diesel-style bodyguard / enforcer for the Iconics?
I mean, I feel like you've answered your own question there.
Yes,
Pip. But
I mean, you're doing the Jinder Mahal thing again.
It's a good shout. Like, yeah. I think Rhea's great. Partly because she's so tall. Like,
yeah.
It's unusual for female wrestlers in particular to be as tall as her at the minute. And she's great. Like, really, really, really good. Yeah. And has an intimidating look to her. Has great in ring style and stuff like that. I think that would really work, especially because I'm sure I've met the Iconics, and I'm sure that Rhea's like a good few inches taller than them, so yeah. It would definitely work. And all Australian, so
yeah, exactly. And final sort of question: am I so fickle?
Yes.
That Miko Satomura has become my favourite wrestler ever after only seeing 3 matches. I'll answer that for you. No, because she's legitimately one of the best wrestlers in the world at the minute. Arguably ever.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. Like, she was wrestling on Nitro when she was 17. So...
Yeah. Like, when she came out in, like, the red leotard and...
Yeah, or, and this, like, is, like... This is in, like, 1996, 97 or whatever. Like, she is a special talent. She is a treasure that everybody should appreciate.
Yeah.
I kind of like the fact that she's not everywhere.
Yeah.
So, Mae Young Classic, obviously Sendai Girls, which is her promotion, and Fight Club Pro, and Pro Wrestling Eve.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And she did WXW when I was there, right? And doesn't need to be loads more than that.
No.
Like, and this is someone who a lot of people would look at, like, certainly women in wrestling don't necessarily wrestle until their late 30s, in the same way that guys do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And for her to still be, like, finding new fans when she's got 20 years of experience.
Yeah, it's incredible.
She's brilliant. She's a treasure.
So, legitimately, for me, I've, like, got to introduce some, like, insane people, like, this year alone. So I got to introduce Shima from Dragon Gate and Toramon, who was, like, my teenage, like, he was my guy. But I think... The person that I understood the magnitude of it at the time, but then having to do it a second time, getting to introduce Miko was like, and I know it sounds really naff and cliche, but it was legitimately like a privilege and an honor to do it. Like, you just feel this thing when you're in her presence, especially when she's in the ring and is ready to tear someone's fucking head off. I got to awesomely introduce Miko Satomura versus Pete Dunne at Insomnia Gaming Festival, which is my gaming festival, really, for a Fight Club Pro show, which was just the coolest thing. Awesome stuff. Sam Taylor says, did you ever dress up as any wrestlers for Halloween? If so, who?
No, I mean, I want this year to dress up as CCK with my boy, because the height difference between me and Claudio is similar to the height difference between Brooks and Lycos. But no, I didn't. Like, I'm 40. Halloween wasn't a thing when I was a kid. It literally wasn't. I never went trick-or-treating.
No.
Never been trick-or-treating. Like, I've been trick-or-treating with my own kids. but I'm with my nieces and nephews and stuff, but I've never been trick-or-treating myself because I'm 40 and it's like American customs hadn't really infiltrated into us. Santa Claus still wore green when I was a kid. He didn't. That's a lie. And it's a made-up thing that Coca-Cola changed that.
He didn't, because he was in black and white when Jimbo was a kid. Shane Bayliss asks, what etiquette on stereo control on long car journeys... what's the etiquette on stereo control on long car journeys with wrestlers? Is it the driver's choice, or do you take it in turns? What's the current travel album of choice? I think it varies from car to car,
yeah,
right?
It does vary from car to car. I mean, as a rule, if I'm driving, like, we've done it before. Well, we've listened to my iPod for a bit, then we listen to yours, and that's how we do it. Yeah. But often we're talking so much we don't really listen to the music anyway. But I'm going to tell you two comedy-related stories. I'm not going to name names. So I once had to give a lift to a comedian who lived in Bristol, and we were going all the way to the very bottom of Cornwall to do a gig together. So I drove down, picked him up, and the first thing he did when he got in the car was unplug my iPod. It's about when I had an iPod Classic and an auxiliary thing. The first thing he did when he got in the car was unplug my iPod. Didn't even ask if he could, just unplug my iPod and put his iPod in. I'm driving because you can't fucking drive. Like, just as a side note, if you are a professional wrestler in this country and you cannot drive, learn to drive. It's a country that requires driving. Like, and it will really help you get work. It's the same if you're a stand-up comedian. If you're a stand-up comedian, even if you live in London, consider learning to drive. I find it astonishing. When I used to book comedy gigs, the people who couldn't come and do a gig on a Sunday because they couldn't get there. It's like, learn to drive. It's important. So,
just want to say at this point, thank you very much, Jim, for the lift, as ever.
Can you drive, by the way?
No, I've never learned. It is definitely on the list of something to do this year.
But it's something that is a genuine gripe about. But he gets in the car and he takes the iPod out, puts his iPod in. We got 4 hours in the car together. Doesn't apologise, just sits there, like, shuffling through his music. And he had fucking terrible music taste as well.
Standard.
Like, I mean, this is in the time before Mumford & Sons.
Right.
But I imagine he'd like Mumford & Sons.
Like Frank Turner, or I get in trouble for bad life with Frank Turner.
Frank Turner's music before he was a solo artist I really like, because he's like
A Million Dead, wasn't it? Yeah.
And also one of my friends was in Million Dead. But I've got a lot of friends who know Frank, who are friends with Frank Turner. And also Frank tweeted about the Progress Wembley show, so thanks, Frank. But, like, not... Like, Frank's acceptable level of that sort of music for me. Like, but as a rule, if you've got a banjos and stuff, go away. just not bothered. Take the banjos away. Like, if there's ever a music... If there's a musical instrument to make me angry, it's a banjo. Like, my wife, it's any form of jazz. She's like, she would rather tuck and roll out of a car on a journey than ever listen to jazz.
Mine's like country music.
Never spend any time with Pete Dunne. He loves country.
It's country music or folk music.
See, it's that folky indie kind of. Oh, we're so wistful, and we got a banjo, and now we're going to do some songs about love and flowers. Oh, there was a lot of that shit. Like, there was, like, I don't think there was a riff. There was not a riff in 4 hours. On the way back, he tried to do the same thing, and I put my hand over his hand and went, "Do you want to walk?" Because I'd literally, he was quite an oppressive, tedious human. Because some comedians are. Sometimes I am. Other story I'm going to tell you involves two comedians. And this, if you're a comedian, listen to this. This is a famous circuit story that you already know. I'm not going to name the two comedians, but one of them's Australian. The Australian comedian is in a car with an English comedian. English comedian likes to talk about himself a lot. It's not me, by the way. I'm not English. English comedian is talking about himself, and he starts talking about an album that he's recorded. He keeps going on about his album, how good his album is, how amazing his album is, and they're driving basically across the Yorkshire Moors or something like that. An Australian comedian goes, "Oh, this album sounds pretty good. How much are you knocking these out for?" And he goes, "Oh, like a tenner." Australian comedian, whilst driving, gets £10 out of his wallet, hands £10 to English comedian, goes, can I have one of those? And he goes, yeah, sure. Gets one out of his bag, gives a CD to Australian comedian, who immediately winds his window down and throws it out and just carries on driving. And I love that story.
It's a good story. That's a very funny story.
You've definitely met the Australian comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've heard that story before. Yeah. Okay, so I was going to save it to last, but I think we have vetoed. We've discussed this question prior, and Jim is happy to answer it. Gary Palmer asks, not sure if this falls into the don't be a dick category. Where was the faceless angle going to go, and why do you think it didn't work out?
I legit can't remember where it was meant to go. We've joked about it on the podcast a couple of times, and if you ever see me, John and Glenn do Q&As and stuff, we joke about it there, because, like, I think as wrestling promoters we have a fairly decent hit rate of stuff working. That was a thing that didn't work. We thought it was a clever idea, but I think the main issue with it was that eagle-eyed people amongst you may have realised that it wasn't always necessarily the same people playing the faceless.
No.
And I think that was the main issue that we had. Eventually we did
fall into... Are you telling me it's like the Black Scorpion?
It's like the Black Scorpion, but not as obvious. And eventually we did fall into the same four people playing them. And then it got better. But then we then made the change. The change was using it as the vehicle to bring Nathan Cruz back and do Cruz and Ligero, and from that point on it got better. But I don't, like, I genuinely, when we were doing all the mad shit like the raffle and the putting stuff up in the toilets in the ballroom and stuff like that, I can't even remember where it was going. Partly because, and it's not me throwing either of my colleagues under the bus, but it was an idea I was 100% on board with, but it wasn't necessarily my idea to start with. And it's not that I've had some fucking terrible ideas that luckily my colleagues have stopped me doing.
I mean, giving me a job was one of them.
I mean, awful. But yeah, like, I legit can't remember where it was going. But I think we reacted pretty... When we realised it wasn't working, we were like, okay, it's not working. What can we do to fix it? And we fixed it. And then we went on, we got the origin out of it. And I think that ended up being okay. But not everything works. Like, it'd be brilliant if when I one day retire from wrestling, I can go, hey, everything we did in progress ever was brilliant. Nah, it's not. Like, some stuff's better than others. That was not one of our better ideas.
Jim over there, what's it like to have no hair? Is it hot or is it cold? I don't know, because I'm not bald.
Wow. Wow. Got AstroTurf, though. This is the second time this has happened today. Like, Mark Haskins made a big deal about it in the locker room earlier on, calling me bald. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't care. Never have. I've been losing my hair since I was 23 years old. I'm a realistic enough human being to shave my head.
I think you look...
I mean, I've actually my hair's quite long at the minute. I've actually got quite a long hair.
I think you look perfectly like a yob. Pumpkin Spice Chimp asks, in honour of Robert's leaving progress, what's your favourite moment from the cheese board wanker that is Chris Roberts?
First time I ever saw him crotch chop.
Oh, the best.
You know, like, he had a really good crotch chop on him. That was good. So that was fun. I think him appearing as Clive Roberts, his dad, and immediately getting over as a babyface and doing the... When he counted at that 1970 show and he did the proper not bending down and hitting the mat, doing the proper one there, two, and everyone just lost their fucking minds. And then him having it explained and then rolling... Oh, it was great. So good, that. I'd forgotten how good that was. It was really good. And also, let's not forget, he was involved in nearly every world title match we've ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever had. And always did a great job.
One of the funniest people backstage as well. Like, genuinely very, very likable, hilarious, and just a top bloke who will be very much missed.
That's why he didn't know. He messaged me earlier and said, thank you for the message you put out today. But I was like, no, like, we didn't know he was leaving. He told us at the end of Wembley that he was going and why, and we 100% respect his decision. And he's still doing other wrestling stuff. He just hasn't really got time in his diary to do us as well as all the other stuff he does. And it's a real shame because we love having him around. If he ever changes his mind and wants to come back, we'd have him back with open arms straight away. But just love him. Lovely man.
Craig Michael Hall asks, about Northern then. Craig Michael Hall asks, how are we going to eat and what floor is the restaurant on? I'm going to answer that with the Japanese way and level 42. It's an Alan Partridge joke.
I see.
You're welcome.
Never watched Alan Partridge.
No, it doesn't shock me. At Jim Smallman. Pumpkin Spice Matty. There's a lot of Pumpkin Spice people today. What wrestlers have impressed you the quickest? And are there any that you basically it took you a while to appreciate? He says he loves the podcast. Wembley's best night of his life. But yeah, so what wrestler impressed you the quickest, and what wrestler took ages for you to be won over / impressed by?
Matt Riddle impressed me the quickest, because when you consider that Matt Riddle made his debut for Progress when I think he'd been wrestling for a year and a half in total. A year and a half.
Yeah, it's mad.
And was a god from day one. I got recommended, he was recommended to us. I watched about 3 minutes of a video and knew that he'd do great for us, so he was the quickest to win me over. I normally have to watch 2 or 3 matches of someone before I've really made my mind up on them. I watched 3 minutes of him and I had my mind made up straight away, because you've got to bear in mind he wasn't a huge indie star when we first started using him. And I'm not saying we're the reason he's a star, we're not at all, but we were the first company over here to start using him, and then everyone else, he started getting about and started doing great things. So Matt will be the one who impressed me the quickest. Quite a famous one from stuff I've said on this podcast is Pete, who took a long time to catch on with us, and always knew he was good, but when he first appeared for us, we didn't use him for a couple of years after that, just because, you know, we at the time didn't think he was a finished article. And then when he came back to us, not only was he the finished article, we wish we'd used him before, because he was the best. And now, I mentioned this when I did the little thing going through lists last week, he's the best wrestler on the planet right now. And, you know, it goes to show as well that you can't just... In wrestling, there's a lot of people, this is Jim Cornette syndrome, I think, there's a lot of people who just decide that they think something about someone and that's it forever. And I don't think you can ever do that. If we'd have been set in our ways with Pete and gone, no, we're never going to use him because we used him back then and he was fine, but no, we absolutely needed to change our mind. We listened to what everyone was telling us about him, that he was absolutely out of this world. And then as soon as, 3 or 4 months after he came back to us, he was world champion. Tells you how good he was. I cannot say enough good stuff about that.
My famous story is about being wrong about someone is Zach Gibson. The first time I ever saw him wrestle was against Sam Bailey, and he was the worst wrestler I had ever seen. Genuinely the drizzling. Fast forward a few years later, he turns up in Future Shock Wrestling in the 5th anniversary show, and he's on my team. We're both wearing CM Punk-esque shorts. There's a photo out there, it's hilarious. And match starts and I was like, oh, you got better. And then he continued to get better and better.
You know the difference between Gibson chapter 1 Zach,
yes,
Gibson,
yes,
and Gibson now. Fuck me, he's good.
But what's even funnier is I didn't just make that mistake once, I made it twice, because in Future Shock, Jack Gallagher and Zach Gibson wrestled for the Future Shock Championship in the main event. It was a face versus face match, and the initial plan after that match was Gallagher was going to turn heel on Gibson and then someone else was going to cash in and win the title. And it basically got decided that Gibson should turn heel and Gallagher should be the babyface. And I remember going, that'll never work. The show after, he got a promo wearing a Progress t-shirt going on about how he couldn't attend the show because he was too busy elsewhere. And I was like, I was wrong again. So now, every time Zach Gibson does anything or says anything, I'm like, yes, Mr. Gibson, you are true.
But also, this is, I think, a really important thing, I think, for people to consider in the world of wrestling, whether you're doing a job like I do or whatever. You have to be able to admit when you were wrong.
oh, I'm wrong all the time.
And I'm pretty good at doing it. Like, you know, not everything I suggest is good. Not everything I suggest works, you know, both within the company between the three of us, or when we actually put the products out there. Like, not everything's great. Like, you're very deluded if you think everything you do is great. And I think if you are willing to admit when you're wrong, then you tend to get the averages right of being right. So that's my idea anyway. Like, I'm very good at going, oh, I was wrong, and just apologising and getting on with it. Like, we're only human. Like, you can't get everything right.
Wise words from an indecent man, as a rapper once said.
I like you controlling the
mic. I love it. This should be the regular setup. Dylan Shah asks, if you could book Rhea Ripley in progress for a one-off match, who would you like her to face? A lot of Rhea Ripley love tonight. I like it.
Tony Storm.
Be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, be well good. Tony Storm or Jordynne Grace or Ginny or Millie McGuire. Like, they'd all work, yeah. But I think Tony's the most obvious one to leap out of.
Like it, may the Aussies fight. Jack Lysel, list any terrible thing you'd rather do than face a Volta one-on-one.
I mean, luckily, never going to happen. Not a wrestler. I don't know. So here's the thing. If you said to me, like, how much money, let's say wrestling was a shoot, right? Let's say wrestling was a shoot, and, like, Walter's the champion of terrifying shoot wrestling. You, not a trained fighter, Walter, a trained fighter.
Yeah.
How much money, bearing in mind, if it's a real fight, someone's going to stop it when it gets too bad. How much money for you to take that fight? A la Homer Simpson when he's fighting his way through the boxcar league.
Not much, though. But, like, you should know this by now. There's something a little bit not wrong with me. And I've got a little bit of, like, oh, what's the worst that could happen? Until I'm...
So I willingly got hit with a chair several times, hit with a cricket bat,
yeah.
And knocked the fuck out and lost some hearing. Because I was... too lazy and too uncoordinated to learn how to do it for real, to learn how to do it in a work safely work way. So I just got murdered. Like, so I'd be like, I don't want to ever take a Walter chop.
Yeah.
But if I had to take one,
right? So
for the good of my company, I would take.
What's minimum wage now? What's annual minimum wage?
Like £7.80 an hour. I've never employed anyone at minimum wage, okay. So I don't know.
So what about like 12 or 4, between 12 and 14 grand? I'll be like, yeah, I'll have a go.
I don't know, like, if I could buy a car with the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I could buy a decent car,
the NHS,
better than a Fiat.
The NHS still exists at the minute, all right? And they're very good at their job, and I love and support them. So they'll take care of me, and I'll be, like, 12 to 14 grand richer.
Here's the weird thing, right? I kind of like the idea of the crowd reaction of taking something like that. Like, I like the crowd reaction of being hit with a chair. I know it sounds stupid, but
it'd be different now.
But, you know,
it's fine. Right, Blakey
on the buses.
Yes.
Why am I doing such old man jokes?
Oh my god, welcome to the 60s. Blakey, who should be the next star to come up from NXT? So from NXT to the main roster.
I think Tommaso, really. Because I think he's the best villain in all of wrestling. I just think he's an absolute superstar. Oh, yeah. Or Velveteen.
I was going to say Velveteen.
I think Velveteen, there's so much about... I look at Velveteen and see so much Shawn Michaels in him. Like, I think he's got the ability to be the next sort of HBK sort of sort of level character. I think he's absolutely special. But then again, people can come up from NXT and shock you. Like, who remembers when they did the draft and Alexa Bliss got called up, and everyone went, Alexa Bliss. Oh yeah, well, look at her now. She's absolutely wonderful.
Jobby Dove, I believe that is. This is a great question. This is the one I saw before, and I was like, yes. Yourself and Matt in a six-man tag. You each get one comedian and one current wrestler as partners. Who do you pick?
Comedian. Now, are we going, like, is the comedian going to be, is the comedian going to be doing acts of violence?
Oh, yes, yeah,
or is the comedian going to somehow be doing comic relief? Because are we basing it on good comic ability, or who I think is going to be really good
in your choice.
Fight?
It's your choice. I mean, if it's anyone that's good in a fight, I'm picking Sully O'Sullivan, who is our mate, because he's seen some things. Or maybe Danny Sutcliffe.
I
know who I am going to pick, though.
Who?
Tony Jameson. You seen how much CrossFit that lad
does?
He
does do a lot of CrossFit.
Yeah, his overhead press is well good.
He does do a lot of CrossFit. I would pick, comedian-wise, I would probably, I'd probably pick, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is genuinely hard.
Do you know it would be good? A quite a sensible pick. Dara O'Brien. He's rangy. He's Irish.
I'm going to pick Nathan Caton. Because he's been in loads of progress shows. Yeah, yeah. He's a fairly big lad.
Yeah,
I think he gets the concept of wrestling.
Oh, I love this. Always the booker.
Yeah. And then we've got to pick a wrestler each. Walter. Again. Walter.
All right.
He's going to chop you to death.
Well, I'm going to pick Timothy Thatcher, because who doesn't want to see me, Tony Jameson, and Timothy Thatcher in a unit?
What I love is, it just looks like the gradual erosion of muscle as you go down the line. Tim, made of granite. Tony, does CrossFit. Matt, can't eat bread.
Yeah. Matt's also here.
Matt turned up. Yay.
We'll be called Cross Camp. Is what we'll be called.
Nice.
Yeah, so you've got a name and everything. Yeah, we've got Brandon. Okay, that's a good question. Yeah, it was. Lane asks, evening guys, what match and what show do you go to when feeling like shit and wrestling is the only cure? Safe journey.
Either this year or last year's Super Strong Style, or ECW Heatwave 1998, or Money in the Bank 2011.
Nice.
Or, I like Halloween Havoc shows from WCW, in particular it's 96, which has got Ray and 97.
Yeah, because that was going to be my choice too as a go-to match. That or Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle from SummerSlam 2003.
Nice.
It's the opening match. It's the greatest opening match of any wrestling show, in my opinion, because they tore the house down. It's the one where they just go for the sprint and Rey appears behind Kurt Angle, does a springboard into the
match.
I also don't like
WrestleMania X7.
Yeah, good shout. I rarely choose Progress, not because I don't love the matches, because I absolutely
just
adore.
Just noting this on your permanent record.
No. The reason why I don't always choose Progress is because I don't like actually listening to my own commentary. Because like
it's one of the reasons I never used to be able to watch the shows when I was doing the comms. I hated it.
It's because I really want to enjoy the match, but the problem is if I hear my own voice and I hear myself doing commentary, I start critiquing myself. So it always takes me a while to watch shows back. Also, I cried 2.5 weeks later because I didn't cry at Wembley or any point around it. Wembley thing.
So John messaged when John we obviously have a WhatsApp group because it's 2018, and a WhatsApp group between the three of us. And he was like, I've cried so many times. John's a very emotional robot.
Oh, yeah. And he's the crier out of the three.
And he's like, I've cried so many times watching this bat. He says, you guys are going to be in tears when you watch it. I didn't cry when I watched it. I was just pleased. I was just like, oh, it was a good show. It's fucking long.
Yeah.
Oh, it's long.
So I, because I kept on joking with Adam into social media. I was like, I've got a really ugly cry in me. It's going to come soon. And Glenn got quite emotional about Doug Williams and various wrestlers.
I felt choked up, but I never.
Yeah, yeah. But so I forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, I should probably watch that main event back, and just burst into tears the minute the match started. Because I was like, this was special. And also, I was really proud of myself. And I was like, oh, good.
It was, super proud of the show. It's a great show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that main event.
It's a weird.
Else,
it's a weird. It's a weird experience. Mm.
But I, the only time I got really like close to being emotional on the show was, like, My wife and my son came in the interval. We went down to ringside so I could have some photos taken with them and stuff. And my wife just went, "Oh, it'd be great if your mum saw this." And that was the only time. Like, I didn't do it. It was just because I missed my mum. So but even then, I don't cry very often. I'm a bit like, which is weird because I think I'm very in touch with saying whether I'm happy or sad or whatever.
Yeah.
And whether I love something or whether I don't love something. Yeah. I just don't.
Oh, you've nearly got me a few times on progress shows.
But I don't get him. Like, and I mean all that stuff I say in the ring. It's not said for the sake of it. But I just don't get choked up. I got a little bit choked up at the start of the show today when I tried talking about Leicester. And I've done it a couple of times when I've talked about things. Like, when I've talked about Trav in the ring, Chris Travis in the ring and stuff. Like, that stuff like that gets to me. But I tend to power through it. I read stuff at my mum's own funeral, because people went, "Oh, you're a performer, you can talk." Probably not the best day. I read stuff out and I was fine, and I did jokes and stuff, and it's like, I don't think I get as emotional as other people. I get emotional at, like, my son falls over, I'm destroyed. But so far, I'm
shouldn't be so clumsy.
I know. Should learn that I'm tripping him up.
Wow. Okay. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Matty ID asks, who invented the skip? Now, I don't know if he means the metal container that you put building waste in, or the skip as in like the hop, skip and jump, but my answer to both is Chris Candido.
Good. My answer is Mr. KP, who invented the melt in the mouth prawn cocktail flavour crisp skips that shouldn't in any way be nice, but are nice. No fish flavoured crisps should ever be nice. Discuss.
That's a fair point,
man. Prawn cocktail crisps. A prawn cocktail is a revolting thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get some prawns, you're going to put them on old iceberg lettuce, mm-hmm. then you're going to put a mixture of mayo and ketchup on them and pretend it's ritzy.
Hey, some more crisp based banter is a sentence I never thought I'd say. I discovered today via Vicky Haskins, the very lovely Vicky Haskins, that Cheetos are vegan.
But not flaming hot ones.
No, nor
which
American.
My vegan wife discovered when we were in America on holiday.
Damn you, vegan gods! Apparently the American ones aren't vegan, but the British ones are. So they go.
Being a vegan in America is hard, by the way. My wife will attest to this. It's really hard to eat anything ever.
I mean, didn't James Brown write a song about that? Vegan in America.
What's happened to you?
I don't know. It's getting late. Heather.
It's getting late. It's 4 past midnight.
I know, it's early for us. Heather O'Connor asks very politely, "What's your favourite heel turn?"
Jimmy Havoc on me. If it's not in progress, that's the best heel turn in progress ever. Shortly followed by Eddie Dennis, his heel turn.
Nice. Yeah.
Like, they're great. My favourite heel turn outside of progress is Tommaso Ciampa on Johnny Gargano.
So I've got an obscure answer to this. It's Joey Hayes turning on Damon Lee at a GPW show that was probably close to 14 years ago. Because he turned on TJ Kane, who wrestled for a little bit as Jervis Cornbelly in Chikara and various other places. Yes, because Joey Hayes at that time had never been heel. He was literally the epitome of like a babyface, and a very young teenage me was shocked. I was, or as the cool people say now, was shook.
Paul Robinson turning on Will Ospreay.
Yeah, yes.
Great like way back in the day in that tag match. That was pretty cool from a progress point of view. But yeah, Tommaso Ciampa's heel turn in NXT takes some beating.
Mm-hmm. Ian Wood asks, no more Nando's or no more salted caramel monster?
Probably I could live without the salted caramel monster because it genuinely makes me jittery. I mean, I like having it, but whenever I go to America, a lovely fan will come and give me like 4 cans of it, and then I'll have to get on a flight the next day, so I have to drink it all that day. So if you ever see me, give me 1 can. I only ever have one. Like today I've had 1 can of monster. I had 1 can of monster that took me between 7 a.m. and 1 in the afternoon to drink in total. Like, it's one of those resealable ones, but it's kind of zero-calorie monster. It took me 6 hours to drink. And I'm still really awake. Helps that we're doing this, but I'm still really awake, like, How many miles are we from your house now? We are 24 miles from your house.
Yeah.
We were 120 miles away when we started this podcast. So, like...
Sorry, John, it's another long one.
So I don't have loads and loads of caffeine, whereas Nando's, I really, really like mushroom and halloumi burgers. So, you know, and their chips are great. So
They are banging. Yeah.
Macho peas are good too. Not vegan though, macho peas. No. Just a little tip for everybody.
Good. Mr. Neon Picks asks a really interesting question, I think. Logistically speaking, what was the toughest part of putting on the Wembley show, and were there any spanners that affected your vision for the show? I really like that question.
That's a good question, man. John's a better person to answer this than me, because John does most of the logistical stuff. What I would say is that when you hire an arena like Wembley, you have to bring all the stuff in. So we had to bring in the screen and the lights, and the only thing that was there is the seats. We had to bring in everything. Like, that is both a logistical nightmare and an incredible expense, way more than hiring the venue is. And hiring the venue, as you can probably gather, it's Wembley Arena, it's in London, was not cheap. So that's a logistical nightmare. The thing I've talked about as well on the podcast before, the whole you get fined if you go over your curfew and it's several thousand pounds, like that's not something we have a problem with at the ballroom. They'd be mildly annoyed with us if we overran at the ballroom, but they're not that. They like us and we've been there for years, so they're fine.
Yeah.
I think the biggest logistical problem with Wembley is, because it's such a bigger venue, everyone's entrances took a minute longer.
Yeah.
And I know that might not sound like a lot. Like, legit, only one match really overran at Wembley before the main event. We just said the main event could go as long as it wanted, but only one match before that overran, and that was the Thunder Bastard, which we'd given a time to, but we expected it to overrun by 5 minutes, and I think it overran by 10 in total. But even then, we shouldn't have been, like, the show shouldn't have been as over as it was. But a lot of it was setting stuff up, and to set stuff up, we were playing those promo videos so we could set stuff up, and maybe we could have done a bit less of that. But also, we should have allowed more time for entrances.
Yeah.
Because that's just a bigger ramp. And it sounds really daft, but at the ballroom, you're literally down some steps, you're in the ring.
Yeah.
Even though the ballroom's quite big for an indie wrestling venue, a regular one, you're there as soon as you come down the ramp. And I think that's the thing that we didn't take into account. And also, everybody on their exit wanted to, it's Wembley, everyone, if they'd won, wanted to celebrate for ages. Everyone who'd lost wanted to sell losing. Like it's stuff like that that you don't necessarily think about, because no one views it as just another show.
Typical Doug Williams, eh, Mick? Milking it, eh?
He's allowed to. We'd allow for that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was weird. When we realised how far over we'd gone, and we went back and looked at it, we were like, it must be an accumulation of everything, because nothing that we planned went stupidly over. We timed everything.
Neil Adshead asks, do you guys ever take notice of the smaller promotions around the country? There are some really great stuff local to me. I checked his Twitter, it came up as Rotherham, so yeah. Sheffield-y area. So yeah, is there any smaller promotions? Do you guys keep an eye out for that?
I mean, yeah, because one of my jobs. So yeah. One of my jobs is to watch as much wrestling as possible. So, I go out of my way to watch wrestling. I tend to see more stuff at moderately big. Like, I went a few shot the other day. I go to Fight Club Pro a lot. I'll go if people invite me to a show. I'll try and go to a show. It just depends on other life stuff. So, you know, progress work, other work, and having a life. But I try and watch as much wrestling as possible. And also, like, to get booked at Progress or Fight Club Pro or Attack, or you have to be of a certain level.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to see, for some like Natural Progression series, I want to see people who aren't quite at that level yet, because that's the whole point of it. So things like that I think are interesting. I know that John, in London, there's a lot of cool sort of smaller promotions like Hustle, which is run by Sid Scala. Like, yeah. I think John and Glenn, either John or Glenn, went to that recently. Obviously, there's Will's promotion, Frontline, which I know the boys went to as well. Harder for me because I live in the Welsh countryside. I do get invited to shows in like places like Denbigh and Rhyl and stuff all the time, but often it's when I'm busy. But yeah, like, I think I'm probably aware of every promotion in this country.
Yeah.
Like, I just might not talk about them all the time.
No, no. But I text you all the time, don't I? Yeah. Like, I'll be like, oh, there's such and such and such and such. But it's just done this and done
but it's
that.
Part of my job is to know as much as I can about wrestling in this country. So I'm normally aware of, like, any given day, I pretty much know every show that's running. Whether it's, if it's really, really tiny, I might not know. If it's like, you know, if it's a show with someone pretending to be Kane, I'm probably not that aware of it. But as a rule, half decent indie, I probably know. And I've got, you know, if I can go and watch them, I'll go out of my way to do it.
We've only got one question left. Shocker. It's from Tim. It's a solid question. What car adapter plugs are you using?
At the minute, none.
None. We're just renegades.
So, Bluetooth is a thing. For a start, so yeah, I don't need to use any because I got Bluetooth on the go with my phone, and I put new batteries in the recorder before we started out,
and we are fueled by the love and passion of our friendship in wrestling.
Have you refreshed the questions? Have we not definitely got?
Yeah,
anymore?
I've done it three
wow.
times, mate. Three
good
times.
Lad. Look at yeah. that. You've learnt well. Thank you for your questions, though, everybody. Genuinely appreciate it. Thanks for helping keep us awake. Like, this is something, like, every now and again we have these car journeys. I think it's quite a nice thing for us to do, isn't it, Matthew?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
It was good.
Kept me out of trouble.
I mean, which we do need to do from time to time. But no, thank you everybody for your questions. Much appreciated. We're just getting to the juncture where we're meant to get off, which does seem to be closed. Which feels like the most stereotypical way for us to end this journey is to realise we can't actually get off the M6.
Brilliant. This is the bit where, like, this podcast descends into, like, a Blair Witch Project-esque, like, just random cuts of us going back and going...
Oh, no, I think we can. I think we can get off.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get off.
Oh.
It's Junction 19, you see. Normally I get off at 20 because I get on the M56.
No. 19.
Matthew, do you need to plug anything? Feel free to plug some stuff if you do.
I don't have to, but you can follow me on Twitter at @mrichardshost. I'm on Instagram as well. Yeah, just come and say hiya. I'm going to be doing a little bit less wrestling now that I've finished up with Fight Club Pro. I probably should take this opportunity to thank them for two and a bit of the best years possible, and I love them genuinely very dearly, Trent and Zaki especially, for giving me an opportunity and letting me do my little thing, and I'm really thankful for it. And I know we like to say Progress is one big family, but I think it extends to Fight Club Pro as well.
It always makes me feel, I always feel part of it when I go down there. They're good people, very good friends of ours.
Yeah, so nice one for that. But yeah, like, I'm always knocking around at shows. If ever Progress, come and say hello, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. My stuff to plug, jimsmorman.com/book. Buy the book, for the love of God. I'm just doing, you know, that thing in The Simpsons. There's three types of advertising that join the Navy advertising. Yeah. There's three types of advertising: subliminal, liminal, and superliminal. They're like, okay, what's superliminal? It just opens a window and goes, hey, join the Navy! The guy just goes, okay.
I just have visions of you in an Alan Partridge-esque situation where you're selling your book in a train station.
I mean, it's going to happen. But yeah, buy the book. Progresswrestling.com, demand-progress.com. Yeah, do all that. Watch wrestling and enjoy it. Whatever you want to watch, just watch it. It's all good, isn't it? But it does help me if you watch Progress, especially through legal means. But just watch what you want and be happy, because wrestling's nice. Wrestling's made me happy today, so cheers. And obviously support everything on the Distraction Pieces Network, because it's all great. That's it. Good work, Matt.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.